It is always a pleasure and appreciation, first off, to Wayne. You know, when there are so many people in this church who can come up here and give a message that I, as a pastor, appreciated so deeply. For the first couple times, I viewed it as filling in for me, and I no longer view it that way. I view it as them ministering to you, as they are called to do. And it is always a privilege and an honor to welcome my brother up here to give us the Word of God. Wayne?
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Wayne Booth, a lay minister with the Methodist Church. And someone asked me last week, how long you been doing this? I had to stop and think. Pastor Tony Felici from Homestead, from Holiday Park, and I became lay ministers together. I think it's been almost 25 years now. So, I remember when Tony had no gray hair, and I had a lot. But, hey, it's good to see everybody laugh this morning. The world makes us cry enough. And, you know, Pastor Jeff probably thought that I was concerned about time, but you know what? There's nothing I can say that will even come close to the laughter of the folks here. If I can make you laugh, if I can make you smile, I've done a great job. I didn't have to say a word. God did it all. You know, the only thing I can't understand, I asked Kathy, I says, how does Cheryl get in here so quietly? She says, oh, she comes in the back. She don't use a door. But that's it. There's a time to laugh and there's a time to be serious, and I guess this is the time to be serious. So let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you that you've brought each and every one of us here, Lord, to crack a smile, to laugh at each other, Lord, to laugh with each other, Lord, to enjoy the fellowship of each other, Lord. We thank you that you've given us another day on this earth, Lord. We thank you that you've blessed each and every one of us, Lord, with the ability to come here, Lord, the resources to come here, Lord. Sometimes we take that for granted, and Lord, we thank you for the safety, Lord, of this building, Lord, the fact that we could come and worship you in peace, serenity, Lord, and just honor you with our presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to open the sermon this morning with some scripture. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every vine in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to bear more fruit. You know, this is the garden season. Summer is here. And, you know, as I was out Monday, last Monday was a beautiful day. The temperature was perfect. The winds was just a nice, gentle breeze, you know. So you could do just about anything outside without being very hot and sticky and all that. I decided that it was time to kind of see the back fence again because it had become overgrown. And I don't get poison ivy. I just don't get it. Some people can look at it and get it, but I just don't. And hey, that's a great blessing to me. So I can just grab it and just pull it in half. I don't understand it either, but it just works. God's saying, you're too stupid to recognize it, so I'll make sure you don't get it. Maybe that's it. But the bottom line is the end justifies the means. I don't get it. So anyway, some of this stuff really runs a long way. These vines will go 50 feet. And I thought, wow, that's a long fence. But you know what? It's the craziest thing. All I have to do is cut 1 inch of that vine knot, and the rest will die. And you know what? I think that happens to us here. You know, the scripture says, I will slay the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. That's us. The shepherd is gone. And how did we get separated from him as a church, as a nation? And we see that evidence this morning of how did we get so separated from God that we could walk into a nightclub and just start shooting people? I mean, where does it end? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to us. Like I told Kath, I says, since, say, 1950, we have never developed in this country so many time-saving devices. But yet we have no time. I mean, stop and think about this. When we had wringer washers and cotton clothing that we had to iron on Tuesday, wash day on Monday, you know, we always had a day of the week for different things. But in 15 minutes, throw it in the washer, it's done. You don't have to wash it. You don't have to wring it. You don't have to scrub it. You don't have to hang it out on the line. You don't have all that. But yet somehow we don't have time. But I'll tell you the things we do have time for. And you know what? You might sit here and say, who are you to judge me? Well, you know what? I'm just as bad as you are. I walk past the Bible sitting on the table to turn the TV on. I'm terrible for it. I'm the guy playing Candy Crush on my phone or doing this or doing that instead of reading the Bible app on my phone. Yeah, I'm not preaching to you. Maybe I'm preaching to me. You know, and as far as opinions, mine doesn't count up here. My opinion counts in a trustee meeting. It counts in church council. But up here, my opinion means nothing. God's opinion is what means something. So as a disclaimer, all I can say is, I just read them. I don't write them. He writes them. And Jeff's the same way. He writes the good ones. I write the bad ones. Anyway, it seems that we have filled our lives with different things instead of God. The development of the internet is one of the worst things, one of the biggest distractions for us. It really is. And I don't say that being condescending, but we once a day we answer our email. Right? Once a day, do you answer your Gmail? What's Gmail? That's God's mail. Stop and think about that. Do you pray as much as you answer your email? I don't. I'm terrible for it. I need reminded. We all need reminded. You know, and I think that's half the reason that God put me up here this morning, to remind us. Instead of that half hour show of the reruns of Seinfeld, maybe we should pick up the Bible for a half hour. And I'm worse than anyone here. You know, when it comes to that. And that's how we get disconnected. We have a choice. We can either stay connected or Satan will disconnect us. You know, in the garden, the weeds actually have a purpose. They hold the ground. They hold it between the fruit-bearing plants. So if the fruit-bearing plants are not there and the gardener doesn't take care of the garden, or we don't let the gardener take care of the garden, then the weeds grow up around us. We don't even notice. I heard a preacher say, Satan has the best gig in town. He tells you he doesn't exist, and you believe it. Well, there's two forces at work in this world, the good and the evil. And every time we watch that rerun of Seinfeld, we don't slip into the dark side. We just let the light go out a little bit. We need to keep the light going. We need to consciously keep the light going. And I don't say this to you. I say this to me also. Half the reason I love preaching is the fact that makes me get into the book. It really does. I preach once a month at the home. And a lot of people think, why do you spend your time over there? But you know what? It forces me to write a sermon. It forces me to dig into the Word. It forces me to spend some time with the Lord saying, what do you want me to tell your people? And in a way, it's a good thing for me because the older people I speak to have heard it all before. Every time I preach a Christmas service over there, I start to think, they've heard this message for 80 years. How can you put a new spin on this? And all in all, I am up against, as a person, my sermon is up against the ones they've heard for the last 80 years. So, anyway, like I said, we need to stay in tune with God. Another way, well, put it this way. I'm going to give you Wayne's definition of the church. But this is just Wayne's. Okay, it's a personal opinion. It's a group of believers who overlook each other's shortcomings to serve Christ. You know, each and every one of us comes here with a different viewpoint, a different upbringing. I am a very firm believer. I don't know, it just, you don't preach a church without a tie on. That's just me. It's me, it's the way I was raised. And a lot of it is the fact the only time I ever saw my dad in a tie was church. It's funny that Karen mentioned the military. My dad was a member of the 82nd Airborne at Normandy, and I'm very proud of that. I really am. But I'm sure somewhere in heaven this morning, that kid from Large, Pennsylvania, and a young lady from the southern part of West Virginia are having a conversation, and they're watching us today. It's my dad and Betty. And they're discussing the garden sermon and watching us, you know. But anyway, let's give God's example of the church. So you have to bear with me a minute. I'm not as good as Jeff when it comes to organization. Okay, it's Acts 2. Where are we at here? 44 to 47. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. That's God's idea of a church. Let me ask you this. If I walked up after service this morning and said, can I borrow your car? How many of you would say yes? I'm a responsible guy. I've been driving for a long time. You know, to be honest with you, if you asked for the keys to my truck, there would be a select few that would get them. I'll be honest. But Pastor Rich Phipps used to borrow things from me, and he just couldn't understand how I said, well, sure, you can have them. They're not mine anyway. It's God's. He handed it to you. You know, but like I said, this is his way of telling us what the church should be. Somehow we got disconnected from that. It's not somehow we got disconnected. It's just the devil came in and said, wait a minute, you can't have this. I'm going to have my way. This is my world. And it is his world. This is the devil's world. That's a guarantee. God said, I give it to you. We watched Morgan Freeman a couple of weeks ago, and he had some young children come in, and they were going to play a game to win a prize. And he was just wondering which one of them. He said, nobody's going to watch you, but you need to stick these balls onto the wall on this Velcro target. And the kids come in one at a time, and they showed them which line to stand behind. And they said, but nobody will watch you. And the kids came in, and the first kid, he stood there, and he threw him, and he saw that he wasn't doing very well. Well, nobody's watching, so we'll just put one up on the wall. And then the cycle continued until somebody finally just said, you know what? I'll just come in and just stick it on the wall and walk away. I win. Well, then they took this same group of children and they told them an imaginary person was sitting in the chair watching them. And the chair was empty. But these kids came in and each one of them stood behind the correct line, played the game correctly, and did very poor at it. The only difference was they thought there was someone sitting in that chair watching them. And that's the same with us. There it is. A lot of who we are and what we do reflects on the Lord and the church as a whole. If we say we're a Christian, we should act like Christians. And the movie we saw last night really demonstrated that. This guy carrying a Bible, wearing a Jesus shirt, but he was the worst witness in the world. And he was worried about one thing, his problems, his things, what he wanted to get done. And you know what? That's the big thing here. We need to focus on what is the mission of the church. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be making disciples. We're supposed to be loving on the Christians. We're supposed to be loving the world. And like Jeff said this morning, and I'm guilty of this as you are, brother. Believe me, I'm probably worse than anybody here. When I heard that that was a gay nightclub, the first thing that flashed through my mind was, well, maybe that's God's way of judging these people. But then the next thing that flashed through my mind was, hey, they're just people, the same as you and I. God created every one of them. He doesn't want them to be in that situation. And like Jeff was saying, you know, we look at the outside. God looks on the inside. You know, if you don't know much about a subject, the best way to do it is to stay close to the book with the people who do know the subject. So that's why I'm staying real close to the scripture this morning. I'd like to read some scripture from 2 Peter. As soon as I find it here. Like I said, I wish I was as organized as Jeff is. But also, for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. You know, when the Lord was ready to leave this world, and he knew he was leaving it, his disciples asked him, "Master, what is the one thing that we should remember from you?" And he said, "Love one another above all." You know, Peter, as he wrote here, add to ourselves as much as we can. Become better Christians. Become more patient people. Actually, if it ends up whether you are right or not, if it offends someone that bad, stop and think, is it worth it? Is it really worth what I'm going to gain? Is it worth my pride for that person not to be right? Count the cost here. Look at the world, remembering all these people here, we're going to be in heaven together. As I preached to home a couple weeks ago, one of the older ladies looked at me. She says, "You know, we'll go to heaven together, preacher." And I thought to myself, I hope so. But we have to look at this world in that view, because as Christians, we believe there's something after this. The world believes whoever dies with the most toys wins. That doesn't work for us. Whoever gives away the most toys in this world wins. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who will be the greatest?" And he said, "The servant of all." Those who are willing, those who love each other enough to let somebody else win. You know, it's like when you go fishing with your grandkids, which I don't know about. But anyway, hopefully soon. When you know there's a big fish on the end of the line, you know what love is? Love is when you hand it to that person and say, "You catch that fish. You have the excitement." Because you know what? I know there's plenty of fish out there. And if I don't catch one, that's okay. Because I love you so much that I'm willing to give it up for you. And that's exactly the way the Lord was. I love you so much, I'll give my life up for you. That's our example. And if we are not doing what God says, then we're not part of his church. We're just a bunch of people sitting in a building. This church isn't this building. It's us. We are the church. No matter where we're at, we're the church. And we show the world we are the church, because you know what? You can win, and I'll sit back and applaud you. I read a devotional this week. If someone sues you for your shirt, get the best shirt you have, gift wrap it, and give it to that person. That's not the way the world works. That's the way the Christians work. And I'll tell you why I'm going to give you my shirt gift wrapped. Because I know that if God takes away my shirt, he's given me a better one. And I believe that. And if he doesn't, then I believe and I trust him enough to know I didn't need it anyway. There it is. It's not, you can turn so many negatives into positives because you're a Christian. And you see this world beyond this world. This is nothing more than the way to get to the next world. Alberta and Betty sit in that front row. They act like they were moving to Connecticut when they passed on. They act like they were calling a moving truck and just moving down the street. Their faith was so great. The world's afraid to die. We're not. We need to tell the world that. We need to show the world that. But the big thing is, we need to stay connected. Really, like I said, I'm terrible at this as you are. I watch the TV, I surf the internet, the Bibles, well, get to it when you get to it. No, it shouldn't be the time that's left. It should be the first thing you budget your time for. You know, there's the old bracelets that go around, what would Jesus do? You know, and I think sometimes we're I used to wear one because that would keep me in check, remembering what would Jesus do. But I think as we go through our daily lives and we go through the challenges of this church, we need to stop and think, what would Jesus do? Not what would I do? What would I like to do? What do I think? No, that doesn't matter. The question we need to ask ourselves when we live our life and face our challenges is, how do we glorify the Lord through this? Amen. Brother?
First two candle service, we burned through one. God is good. Every time when I stop and think about this, we have one basic option in our lives with everything that God has given us and taught us. Do we show the world us, or do we show the world Jesus Christ? And I had to learn not to show them me. It's not my natural inclination. My natural inclination is to show them me, but the world does not need to see me anymore. There's plenty of Jeff to go around. The world needs to see Jesus Christ, and it needs to see Jesus Christ every day, in everyday situations. And the only way you do that is to value, to do the things that are yours to do. Pick up the word. You do what you're supposed to do. He will bless it. He will show himself through you. And the world will be changed. Thanks, Wayne. I really appreciate it.